Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I got my man, Mike Butler, with me as always. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever, just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I spend it with my buddy, Mikey Butler. How's it going, sir?
It's going great. It appears we are synced in with the blue party shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Little casual party shirts.
You know? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
I mean, you can still party in these shirts.
I know.
There's some shirts you can't party in, and there's some shirts you can.
Yeah.
Some are very apparent, and some are not. I would say these allow us to party in them, but we aren't. It's not a a direct party shirt, if you will.
Yeah, blue polos are pretty plain. Yeah. Yours is party-esque.
Yeah.
What I was getting at.
But yeah, interesting little rip after the close yesterday. Mm. It was one of those days where you just saw the futures ripping and you knew that Google or Microsoft or both were going to probably be up.
Of course. Those are big parts.
Yes.
Of the market.
Yeah. But Microsoft rallied a little bit. Google rallied a bit more, up 10%. Huge move there.
I would say a bit more. It was I saw at one point it was the biggest market cap move. It just beat out Meta's move.
From when they announced the dividend?
Yeah, from earnings yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So it was like a 200, at the height, it was like a $280 billion move or something along those lines, where Meta's was like $220 billion or something like that. So big move.
There you go.
But yes.
Closed. Did you do a Google earnings trade too?
I had two positions. Actually three, because I had one in my Johnny Trader account as well that I did some management on. But I had a strangle, which I had rolled down the calls into earnings because I had this free butterfly that expired in the weekly at the 60. My position was at the 60. 62 and a half, and then I had the 65, 67 and a half, which was, this spread was like two times the expected move. I think the expected move was, we can actually just look at it. I think it was like $8, something like that. So it's well outside the expected move. If we look at where it closed yesterday. So closed at 156. If we look at the 155 straddle, yeah, I was trading somewhere, so this side increased by 11. We lost four here, so it moved by 7-ish. So it was about a $7 expected move. So 2.5 times the expected move. And I was two times out of the money. So I figured rolling down the call would be no big deal because I got this, $250 potential butterfly right where my short strikes were. And
lo and behold,
the stock's ripping higher. So I took the position. I rolled out to the 160, 165 strangle out in June. I have that on for $7.10 credit. It's currently marked at 1360-ish. So I'm out about $650 on that trade. This one, the in-the-money spread, there's no risk, or the in-the-money butterfly that's now fully in the money. No risk going into the end of the day today. In terms of like assignment risk or anything like that, it's at basically zero value. So it's equal width. So the whole thing will trade for a couple penny net debit at expiration, just because there are costs on both sides of the trade. I know it's marked at basically a penny credit, but you're really going to get filled to like a 3 cent debit net here. But I got a couple hours for maybe the stock to turn around a little bit. If we get like a $2 or $3 dip, I might make back, or I might get 50 or 60 cents back versus the zero that it's worth right now. And then in my Johnny Trader account, I had a butterfly that I took off the long spread. We could go to the here. Yeah. So I sold out of the long spread. I had the 55-60 long call spread as part of the butterfly. Closed out of that for 458, 42 cents less than the full value of that spread. I took the call spread, rolled it out to June. I did that for, you know, a negligible credit of 14 cents because it was right in the middle. And then I sold the 160, 145 put spread against it. So it's an equal width spread. I have it on for $6.43. I think I'm out like 100 or 200 bucks on that position. It's very similar to what I have in this account in that I need, you know, a 5-point down move here in Google over the next 50 days. And then Microsoft, I had an iron condor. I had rolled down the call spread. I took that one off for basically a scratch, or it was like an eight cent profit scratch. We'll call it a scratch. And then Snapchat.
Snappy chatty. Yeah.
Up $3.
Liz and Jenny were happy about that one too.
Yeah, I had a short put there. Went from 137 to zero.
You love to see it.
So I made 136 bucks on that one. That was a nice one.
There you go.
But I've been pretty active. Another active day.
Yeah. You're seeing moves. You got to be nimble.
You had yesterday the perfect opportunity to get rid of all the bags that you've been holding on the downside. Mm-hmm. You know, those spreads that have gone from full losers. Maybe you make back $100 on them if they were in the money call spreads. If you had put diagonals where the puts, you know, you might be left with a long put and it's trading at $1 and then you get an 80-point down move and now it's trading at $3. You know, you have that opportunity. I kind of did that today as well. I closed out of a Costco position where I just had a leftover call. It's not a profitable position, but I made back $200-$300 on the way back with Costco rallying a little bit. I rolled up in Micron. Microsoft, I got bailed out of that position. It's been a nice little day, nice couple days.
Yeah. These stocks have been moving. Mm-hmm. Google announced a dividend.
So yes.
They
20 cents.
Hopped on the back of the Meta train. And it's just funny to see how, important that is to people. Huh?
Is Amazon next?
No. If Amazon, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, don't jinx it.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Colin, I'll send you a private DM. You could do the opposite of what I say. Colin in the YouTube chat said he sold a Google put because I said I wouldn't. Easiest $100 of my life. I didn't say I wouldn't be bullish. I would have absolutely been bullish on Google. I think I just said I wouldn't choose a short put as my strategy for earnings.
Yeah.
If I don't remember exactly what I said, but that sounds like something I would say. Because I like to keep the risk defined, go the debit route in these low IV stocks. Because the debit route, you're making much more on a debit trade than you are a short put.
Yes.
Like my Microsoft trade.
But a short put's out of the money.
Yeah. Higher probability for sure. But there's just more risk, monetary risk, if you get a big blowout, like a Meta blowout.
Yeah.
My Microsoft trade was a really good one. That one was a upside call calendar. And
what were your strikes? 415?
415. Long June, short the weekly.
It's exactly what you wanted to see.
Yeah, inside up move. Any move up to 415 is a perfect one because we knew that the 415 call, even if we were at 414, 415, still going to have zero extrinsic value. So that one is worthless now. Lost $500 of value. And the long option is basically unchanged right now when it was.
That's the big key.
Yeah.
Because you made all your money on that short option.
Yes.
The whole point of these calendar and diagonal spreads is that, you know, Mike, by selling that 415 strike in the weekly expiration, you give up the tail.
Yeah.
You know, you sell $4 or $5 of premium, but if the stock opens at 500, you miss out on that tail.
Mm-hmm.
In exchange for that, if you have an inside move like you're seeing today,
which is more
unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all the time that you get 2.5-3 standard deviation moves. Even a 1 standard deviation move is a pretty big move, you know, outside expectations. But the point being, you know, if you had just YOLO'd the long call, you wake up and the stock's up $10, below, you know, 2.5%, and you expect to be making money and you're not.
Yeah.
But you are if you sell the premium.
Yeah. Because yesterday we looked at this trade, and if you want to review the segment from yesterday where I went over the strategy, I remember saying the June cycle had 30% implied volatility. the risk graph that I created for the segment, I cut implied volatility by 5 percentage points. So I brought it down to 25. It is down to 23.8. Yeah, so there's a bigger IV crush, which kills your profitability on the long option. But like Nick is saying, because I sold the short option against it, that is what created this profitability. But I closed it when it was up more. It was up like 12 when I closed it. But either way,
it's still profitable.
It's still the same price.
Yeah.
Because the 0-day option has lost all of its value now. And the June has lost a little bit. But yeah, it was a nice bullish trade. So this is an example of like if you get the direction right and you've got the structure set up in a way where you can make money on both options, that's exactly what can happen. And that's exactly what did happen. So home run home on run. That one for sure. But yeah, we've got plenty more earnings next week. We've got Amazon first on the 30th, mm-hmm. which is
Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday after the close. And then we've got Apple on Thursday. So those two are going to be some bangers.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. And we've seen two-sided action. It hasn't been all up and away. It's been, you know, like Meta beat earnings and they sold off. Microsoft beat, rallied. Google beat, rallied. So
Tesla
missed and rallied. Yeah. So there's still going to be volatility. Just got to keep your risk in check if you're going to be playing these. But I like the way that Amazon and Apple are setting up from an implied volatility standpoint. Mm-hmm. 12-point expected move in Amazon for the 7-day, 18-point expected move for June. It's a big chunk, which is what we want to see for cost basis reduction. And then Apple, very similar story, $6 expected move, much lower implied move in Apple, $11 expected move in June. But $6 is still a decent number. We haven't seen Apple move $6 since that huge rally we saw when they talked about AI on the 11th. So, yeah. Lovely. Today is a full Q&A session, as we typically do on Fridays. Open up the floor for a little bit more chat from the YouTube peeps.
But go on, yes.
I was just saying, if you want to join us on the YouTube channel, we're streaming live there. Just go to Tasty Live. You can pop in your trade ideas, questions along the right-hand side chat, and we are getting to them right now.
I did a Super Bowl for Apple in the cherry picks this week or last week. Mm-hmm. I think I did.
So you caught this move?
A little bit. I sold the 160, 145 put spread, so that's $15 wide, and then I bought the 70, 75 call spread. So we're right at the money with the call spread.
In May?
In May, and I did that for a 41-cent debit. I just went, because we've had a nice little rally here, mm-hmm. I just went and bought in some of, not all of the risk here. I could have taken off the whole put spread. But I left some of it. I probably could just take it off right now that I'm looking at it. But I sold the 145, I bought the 157.5. So now I have a $2.5 wide, short put spread there. It's trading right now at like 40 cents, which is not nothing, and it's a small amount of risk. The whole point was I wanted to have a total net debit of about $1 in this long call spread in May, mm-hmm. which is what I have right now. It's trading at my net debit on the position is 114. It's marked at 186 right now. So I could just take the 70 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I have some upside delta here. Do you have any thoughts for me?
Well, I like your adjustment.
Because I also have the crab.
Yeah.
I wanted to just free up the capital too.
Yeah.
It's $1,200 in capital that I freed.
Well, there's just no reason to have that risk on.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing we talk about when there is a finite amount of money you can make and you've made 70%, 80% of that number, you are holding a lot of risk for very little reward going forward. In this case, it's the same analysis. You have a 15-point wide spread that was once trading for much more. Now there's only $1 in premium on a 15-point wide spread. You don't need to hold that risk. So buying in, moving that 145 to the 157.5 costs you 70 cents, but you reduce your risk by $1,200. That's a good trade-off. Mm-hmm. And you free up your buying power by $1,200. It's a good trade-off. So
yeah,
I like it. But yeah, keeping that spread on versus taking the whole thing off, I think is a coin flip. We'll do whatever you want to
do. Yeah, it's 30 cents. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we open up on Monday, I'll just close it.
But yeah, nice to see you made that trade, Colin. Nice Google winner. If you played anything bullish in Google without like near-term upside risk, you definitely crushed it.
Yes.
So very nice. Nice, but, nice
little trade.
Yeah, next week my initial thought is long Amazon, long Apple. I've been long Apple for quite some time. I might actually not do anything there. I might... actually, I do need to do something. Okay, so I have the 170 in June already,
mm-hmm.
because I kind of front ran that one, for better or worse.
You have the 170 long call.
I have the 170 long call and the 180 expiring today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I put that on. When did I do that?
What's your net debit?
I put that on a while ago. Yeah, I did a longer term one. It was $8.20. I bought the 170, 180 when there was 22 days left in this short option. So I did that early April. And then Apple decided to go straight down.
Yeah, but now you're getting the bounce back.
Now we're getting the bounce back. Well, this was the one that was profitable, but we were in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yes, so now.
Roll to the 77 and a half.
Yeah, so all I'm going to do is just move this 0 day. That's worthless. Got all that value out of there, which is nice. And I'm going to move it to the 7 day because I want to, again, give myself the ability to hit both if we get a rally. So, yeah, move it to the 177.5 for $1.08. Let's see what I get filled at. Might have to give up a penny here because I have a 0 bid option I'm buying back.
Yeah, or you could do it in separate transactions.
I got filled at 107. So I gave up the penny
to
buy back the 0 day. So just collected $1.07. So my cost basis now is 713 on a 7.5 point wide call diagonal spread with $108 of premium, extrinsic value premium going to zero on Friday, next Friday, May 3rd. And if we get any kind of rally from earnings, this will be a profitable trade.
Be really good.
Yeah. Because it's basically a scratch right now.
Yeah.
A little bit of a loop.
60, 70 cents.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm in on Apple. That's my trade. Apple's on Thursday. Amazon ripping higher. Wow. Yesterday was apparently the day to get in.
I'm telling you.
But yeah, Amazon, it's a very similar story. 36% implied volatility in the monthly, similar IVs in the further dated cycles. So probably going to see a similar situation to Microsoft. You might see all of these implied volatilities go to the high 20s in Amazon because they're already at the low 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it sticks around 30, but either way, I'm going to go to June. Let's actually check out the pricing between June and July. Okay, I lied. I'm probably going to go to July here. Pay another $100 for 80 days instead of 50.
Sure.
And you can probably set it up.
What are you're doing a
diagonal?
What's your long?
The 180 in July and the 190 in the weekly.
Oh, you're going close.
Yeah, the 180, 190 is still $9.
Mm-hmm.
So even going out 80 days and selling the weekly cycle 190, you can still get it for under $10. So that just speaks to the low implied volatility in the back month relative to the high implied volatility in the weekly. So I'm going to do this now because I'm going to be gone.
Why not? Yeah.
I'm going to be dipping out.
Me too.
Yes. Yes.
Not together, though.
Not together.
Yeah.
In spirit.
In spirit, we're always together.
We will be on the separate golf courses in separate states. So yeah, long Apple, long Amazon, similar structures. I'm long the June in Apple, 170, short the 177.5. And then in Amazon, I'm long the 180 in July, short the 190 in the weekly. Okay,
got it.
So let's see if we can get a little rally there. Japanese yen going to zero, apparently.
I will never financially recover.
Our coworker Remy is in Japan right now.
Oh, really?
He may never come back because he's just getting richer by the minute. The U.S. dollar relative to
Japan. I thought you were going to say he's getting something else.
No, he's getting more valuable by the minute with the yen dropping like crazy relative to the U.S. dollar. So, yeah, kind of crazy to see.
Yes, it is.
And we talked about this with Thomas on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You know, is this the day that we might see a bounce? And we're seeing
no bounce.
We're seeing a little sell-off, which I think is problematic. Obviously, this is problematic for the currency itself, but
for our position,
not even position, just like what are they doing?
They're preparing for your visit.
Prepping for my visit. It'll be good. Save me some cheddar. Okay. Let's go here. YouTube chat. Here we go.
Enphase. Myths. Iron Condor. June.
Enphase Iron Condor, yeah.
95.90. 130, 135. Yeah, I like this. I think I would go a little bit wider. Do someone like a 20-ish delta. So use the 95, move this to the 135, do a $10 wide. 135 is up towards like the higher end of where it's been trading. 95 kind of the lower end. I can get behind that for $3 and change, $3.14.
Yeah.
I'll follow you in.
And there's nothing wrong with a $5 one. It's just, it's a chicken iron condor. You're collecting $2 with $2.95 in risk. Your pop is 50%. So nothing wrong with it. It's just going to be, you're going to have to hold this longer. You should expect to hold this closer to expiration. You shouldn't expect this to move too much until you get a lot of time out of this trade. Pending a unforeseen IV crush. But yeah, if you think this is the range, then
yeah,
so be it.
And it depends on your risk tolerance too.
I have
a lot of capital on the sidelines. I'm totally good with getting a little bit of short premium on here. So I like it. I am with you.
David, I would just send an email to research@tastylive.com. If you're trying to email people on the research team, see if we can get it over to him. INTC puts paid off, entered calls at the market open, already up 30% on those.
Mm. Beautiful.
A little reversal. Yeah, it did reverse.
What a pig of a stock. I mean, come on.
They're just not really doing anything. No?
Look at this. 2015 is trading right here.
Would you look at that?
You sat for 10 years and made nothing. Yeah. Except for some silly dividends.
But yeah, that's a nice trade. I'm curious what puts you did. If you bought puts, I assume. Yeah. But yeah, this is a low IV product regardless.
Mm-hmm.
10% IV crush. So pretty standard. But yeah, glad to see you. You got it. DJT rocket ships going back to 80. This thing is literally just a meme stock, a Trump meme stock.
Yeah, again, it's, you got to be careful.
It's wild.
Borrow rate is like 300%. Yeah, 371%. So you got to be careful. No calls, no short calls, no call spreads. No, I would even be averse to doing a call diagonal spread.
There you go.
Just because you have excess risk there.
Yeah. What's your plan with the yen? My plan is I don't have a plan moving forward. It is a put spread defined risk. So we'll see what happens with the position. Currently, it is trading for $1.75 less than max loss with 42 days left. So nothing to do here really, just see if we get a bump over 65. over the next couple of weeks. So, yeah. In the money put spreads, in the money credit spreads in general, not much to do.
Yep.
So, Nick, we need a review of the Bears draft. Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Odunze, Cole Kmet. We better score 100 points a game this season.
Yeah, that's the plan. That is the plan. That's the setup.
You did say defense doesn't matter in the NFL. I thought that was an interesting comment. Would you like to elaborate on that?
It just doesn't matter anymore. The rules and the refs and everything else, it just doesn't, it simply doesn't matter. You have, what?
They're zooming in and out. It's emphasizing.
Yeah. I mean, defensive line matters because you have to get to the quarterback, but everything else, like, it just doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It simply doesn't matter anymore.
It's
just how it is. It's an offensive game.
I'm ready. I'm fully bought in. I was once a naysayer, but I think we need to put context around this. I was a naysayer on Caleb Williams because I didn't think they would make big moves to put people around him.
Yeah. Now we have the best.
The best receiving core in the NFL, not even close. And the best part is the NFL will feature the Bears in Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night football games. That we will have more than the general public of NFL teams, which will be sick, not only for DraftKings Showdown, but just to watch it. And maybe a Hard Knocks.
A Hard Knocks would be great.
Hard Knocks would be absolutely epic.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, what other team would they do? They've already done, like, the teams, like the Detroit Lions, Miami Dolphins. Who else is there other than us?
Yeah, I think we are definitely, well, depends on if the organization actually wants to do it. That's true.
Dr. Goose, May contracts are at 21 days and the June contracts are at 56. Do you guys go to the weeklies to get closer to 45, or do you stick with the longer dated monthlies? We do the latter.
Yeah, we like the monthlies. If you're in something like Apple, you could go to the June Spy or Q's. You can go to the weeklies. But when you're looking at other like end phase or something like that, I would rather be in these options, which are 10 cents ish wide, than go into the June 7th and these are $25 wide. I mean, some of these are 30 cents, 40 cents. This is a dollar wide. These options, this type stock, which is a liquid stock in the monthly expirations, is not going to be liquid in the weeklies. And you can even see this if we pull up open interest and volume. Open interest volume. You could see handful of contracts traded here. I mean, you'd be like basically the only one trading it. You look at June and you have thousands, open interest in the thousands. You got a couple hundred trading today. That's much more liquid. So that's why we go to those monthlies.
Yeah. And really it goes along the same lines as like the 21 day rolling guideline. There's no magic number about 21 days exactly, just like there's no magic number of 45 days exactly. It's more about the concept.
Yeah.
Rolling, making sure we're not holding to expiration week, means that if we're doing it around 14 days, 21 days, 28 days, we're going to be avoiding gamma risk for the most part. 45 days, 50 days, 60 days, it's the same concept. Theta decay speeds up. We get a nice blend of time extrinsic value mixed with implied volatility extrinsic value. The only exception for me is like if I'm rolling to a non-monthly in an equity that isn't too liquid would be if I'm trying to avoid an earnings announcement that is in the monthly and I'm trying to like get just before it. But other than that, I'm in the monthlies like almost every time.
Yep.
Caleb might be a dud. We'll end up with Andy Dalton. I actually love Andy Dalton. Hot take. I think if he's going to be your backup QB, I'm not sure there's a better backup QB.
He is a good one.
He slings it. He's a chucker.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid. The chuckers.
Yeah.
I wonder what the accuracy of expected move is over time. John Doe.
So all these things, they're so like everything changes. So you can't just say, okay, I'm going to look at the expected move today and see where we end up in a month from now, because tomorrow's expected move is going to be different because you have time decay, changes in volatility, changes in prices. the expected move is based on everything we know right at this very moment in time, this very second. It's very hard, into the future to say that it matters what today's expected move was. Like it's pricing in everything that is known right now. You can't price in the future. And so it is what it is. I don't know how you would measure that. Would you say, okay, I'm going to look at the expected move of XYZ stock on the first day of every month and then measure, the 30-day expirations, or do you do it on the 15th of the month? Like there's so much subjectivity to that. It should be taken as just like, here is the information. This is what the market is saying. This is what the market is pricing in. Is there a trade? That's the question around it.
It's no different than flipping a coin 5 times, 10 times. Like the general idea is implied volatility is overstated over time. Over a large number of occurrences, implied volatility is overstated relative to realized volatility. But for this particular occurrence, that doesn't mean it's guaranteed. That's why we talk about trading small, spreading risk through time to give ourselves the ability to generate a large number of occurrences so that the numbers we expect have a better possibility of reaching that. But we've done research on it. You can search like
strangles,
realized versus implied move,
or
done studies on it.
Yeah, or just doing a one standard deviation strangle study. The reason those work over a long period of time is because the expected move is overstated.
Yes,
and that is a back test of the idea that we trade around, right? It's that volatility is over a number of occurrences is overstated, and that strangle is a strangle study where you are profitable over whatever period indicates that volatility is typically higher than realized implied volatility is.
Yeah. Am I completely out of the Microsoft calendar? Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Technically speaking, like if you wanted to maintain a bullish assumption, I probably wouldn't roll. Maybe I might roll to the same calendar,
like just in May.
May, but
or the 425 or 420.
I'd probably rather turn it into a diagonal spread.
Yeah.
Now that the earnings are out, and I have the ability to manage it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you wanted to maintain it, you could roll from the weekly to the 21 day, pick up another $6, have like a free calendar spread for a little bit. Or like Nick said, roll it to a diagonal. That's more than likely what I would do. Cause then you'd have a 10 point wide diagonal on for $3.
Yeah. It's just like a shot trade.
Right. But yeah, normally with earnings trades, I just take them off and then get into a regular trade later. The Falcons pick was wild.
Unbelievable.
It was one of those moments where us couch managers are just like, what are you doing? But even last year, I was like, what are you doing with this team? You draft Bijan Robinson and you play him like 20 snaps a game for the whole season? Like, what are you doing?
Well, they had...
I'm fired up right now.
Caleb Haney and Desmond Ridder are not exactly top-tier quarterbacks.
Yeah, but when Kyle Pitts was like, oh, you got to get Kyle Pitts as like your third or fourth tight end, I was like, absolutely not. I'll have zero exposure to him. And it worked last year. And now I thought maybe this year would be the year with Kirk Cousins. And then they were like, oh, sorry, Kirk. It makes no sense what they're doing. I got to cool down. I'm heated up now.
Yeah, you're really hot.
Meta 495 call spread after Google. 495.
Yeah, you're way up there.
Yeah,
one standard deviation.
Oh, short call spread.
Yeah. I like it. I'm playing the upside. I have this crab trade. It's up about 80 cents. It was up a little bit more earlier this morning, but I'm playing for a little bounce. I can't sell it into the hole here.
Yeah. How does the Google stock buyback work?
What do you mean?
Like they announce they're buying back.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of stocks do that.
Yeah.
How does it work? I you would have to read the prospectus and see like the scheduling of it, but yeah. Usually they do it over, you know, period of time. I mean, even our company does.
Because you can't do it all at once.
Yeah, you can't do it all at once. So, yeah. You know, they might have a schedule to say each quarter they buy
a tranche
of $5 billion or whatever. And for the most part, it's a drop in the bucket. I think I saw the, like, it was like what, $70 billion or $60 billion buyback, and the company's worth $2 trillion. So
it's pocket change.
Yeah. It's just, it's, you know, it makes sense to do buybacks. If you think your stock is cheap, there's also all sorts of incentives and, you know, stock options for employees and all other reasons to have, you know, to do those sort of things. So I don't really take a ton out of it.
Yeah. I think that the implication is more like they're bullish on themselves.
At yeah. The end of the day. Shocking. You know what I mean? You should be.
I like this question from Larry. Question on forever trade. Multi-years long. Once you've collected enough credit at some point, does rolling at 20 owned days matter? Why not hold longer for more premium decay? So, yeah, there's the more credit you have, the more flexibility you can deploy, you can take on more risk because you have more credit received. Mm. Like in the beginning of the year, let's say in DraftKings, I'm going to be much more mechanical then maybe later in the year where I've got $2,500 in credit on a $50 stock or whatever it is.
Take some risk.
Maybe I'll take some risk and like maybe I'll take some like 7-day earnings shots and see if I get like the right move. Or it doesn't matter if I don't because I've already collected that much premium. Or maybe it won't matter. So I kind of bucketize it in the same thing as like a covered call.
Yeah.
So covered call, you have your shares and your short option. If you want to hold that short option, let's say you get like 50% out of that short option. If you want to hold that short option and try and get like 70%, 75%, I have nothing wrong for you to say about that because you have no upside risk.
Yes.
So you can do more flexible, more aggressive things because you have that upside. And you know, if you get the rally and you're holding till 10 days to go, you can just roll it up and out for a credit. Like there's things you can do. So yeah. I agree. If you have a lot of credit from a multi-year trade, you can do a lot more flexible things because you have that credit.
Yeah. I think the only caveat would be just opportunity costs. There's a point in all short premium where it doesn't make sense to hold that risk for that amount of premium. And right. That could be, you know, a consideration on capping the risk. So even if you have a covered call, you know, is it reasonable to keep a short call on the trading at a nickel? You know, I don't think so. To cap that binary event in your favor, you know, with naked short premium, it's the same thing. It's like you have all this risk on, very little reward. The opportunity cost of being able to roll that and collect more premium and have higher potential value decay over X period of time. Those reasons come into play when you think about short premium.
Maja rolled an INTC inverted strangle into a straddle in June and still had additional loss after earnings today. How can I escape such situations?
We know the.
I feel like we talked about this yesterday, but maybe I think they had like the 35 straddle.
In May?
Something like that. If you can give us the strikes, we can take a look at it.
Yeah.
I don't see the strikes, just scrolling through here quickly.
I mean, even the 35 strike, that option, that spread, and I'm looking at May, you've only lost 30 cents today, 20 cents.
Yeah.
On this move, on a $3 or $4 move, and that's because all the value and volatility has come out of this position. It's basically gone to all intrinsic value, $3 and change of intrinsic value, which is what the spread is trading at, which is what it was trading at yesterday. So even if you had this, like the amount that you lost into earnings that you had when you think of it relative to what you had a potential to make, like if the stock had stayed or gone up or down a dollar, you would have made a lot of money back on that. The stock moved $3.50, which I expect to be outside the expected move, and you're out 30 cents. So you had your play into earnings yesterday without knowing the future, you know, turned out to be a 30 cent loss on what could have been $1 or $2 of profit. So you made the right choice.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out in your favor.
And if you had a 35 or 36 straddle and you only had $1 in premium or $2 in premium, you know that you're in a tough spot regardless.
Yeah.
Like you need to pin a certain area. And even then, like the current straddle in May, if you pinned it at 31.5, is still trading for $2.
Yeah.
So if you give us the credit and the strikes, we can look a little bit further.
But even the 36, it moved $1.
Yeah.
You know, net.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, you had a lot more to gain back than you did on this realized move.
Any update on your SPX position?
Oh, I got my face ripped off on that one. So I had this weekly SPX.
Oh, the Iron Condor?
Yeah. I would have been perfect. So I had the 115, 125, and then yesterday I rolled it down for $1.25, and now it's ripping my face off. And the 115, 125 would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Right here. Just, it's one of those things, like I rolled down and I was less aggressive with the roll. Like I didn't go wild with it. I had a wide range. I collected $4 and change. And, you know, now I'm out $500 into this move. Took my SPX profits, took my Google, took everything. My Snap, brutal. That's why I don't like doing these.
Yeah.
You know,
you gotta set it and forget it.
Yeah, you gotta set it and forget it. I manage stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to lean directional with longer duration stuff, like the psychology of having 20 or 30 days. With one day stuff, I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna roll down the call, play for the inside move, and then you get a 50 point out move.
Yep. AJ, I like this question.
Okay.
We're talking about $6 move in Apple, mm-hmm. projected for earnings. How do you decide what is acceptable? Is it a percentage of your buying power or is it a percentage of the value of the stock? What do you use as a benchmark to do a trade in earnings or not do it? So I kind of look at it as if the percentage move, so the percentage of buying power and the percentage of the stock value are kind of tied together. Because if the percentage move relative to the stock price is low, your credit received relative to buying power is going to be low in a vacuum. If you assume that you're putting up like 20% of your strike price, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's more of like, do I go the short premium route or the long premium route? If I'm doing the long premium route, it's in a scenario like Apple where you have a $6 expected move on a $170 stock. For me, I would rather not sell undefined risk premium when implied volatility is $6, or implied volatility for the earnings move is very low relative to the stock price. We've seen a couple of them that were 10% of the stock price, 8% of the stock price. This one is 3% of the stock price,
mm-hmm.
just a little bit over that, but it's a really low number. So we just saw Google move 20 points. We just saw Microsoft move 10 points. Would you be surprised if you saw a 10-point move in either direction in Apple?
If it's not up, I would be surprised. Just kidding.
Up only. So that's the question. Like, if you would not be surprised to see a 10-point move in Apple, which is over a 1x the expected move, then selling premium, unless you're directionally right, like selling a strangle, for example, is not something I'm going to do. But if I want to place a bullish trade or a bearish trade, a low IV environment like this, where your back months are 27% and your weekly is 40%, it just creates a cheap way to get involved in a directional move. So that's kind of how I look at it. I mean, when it, like we talked about earlier, implied volatility being overstated, I would much rather sell premium in a stock that has a 15% expected move for earnings than a 3% expected move for earnings. Because for me to realize a 2x expected move, that stock literally has to move 30%.
Yes.
Instead of 6%.
Yes.
Which happens every day.
It seems it happens
every Yes.
day. Awesome.
It seems it happens every day. So yeah, that's kind of where my thought process is. Would you be surprised to see a 2x move in a product? And what is that 2x move? Is it 50 points on a $200 stock, or is it 10 points on a $170 stock? Colin's going to be long Apple and Amazon too. That's unfortunate.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah, sorry in advance.
Mike killed you.
Yeah. Not even 4 days out, and we're already
taking downside lotto tickets.
Yeah. INTC Phil, 35 strike put. Any suggestions?
There's just no vol here.
Yeah.
Even if you're in June or May, or if you did the weeklies, you're not getting paid to hold a risk here. And so that's my problem with this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in May or June, you could sell an at-the-money call, but it's a very small adjustment.
Yeah.
You know, and then you hope to get a dollar or two up move, and then you can close the trade for a little bit less of a loss, but it's a tough position.
SPX Iron Condor, 50.75, 51.25, 5 points wide.
Do we know the expiration?
I think it's
today.
Today.
Well, that was close to what I had before. You're in a good spot.
I think he's put it on right now.
Oh.
SPX Iron Condor, total credit of a dollar, risk 395. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it, you just need this market to chop around and not have a crazy move in the next 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I have no problem with it. But yeah, this is one like we talked about, like set it and forget it. And that's it.
Don't do what I did.
Don't do what Nick did. Any other big earnings next week besides Apple and Amazon?
Let's see.
SoFi,
PayPal, Eli Lilly, McDonald's.
Ooh, McDonald's.
AMD, SMCI, Starbucks.
Wow.
Pfizer, okay, yeah. CVS, MasterCard, Qualcomm.
SMCI is going to be insane.
NVO, Moderna.
What is Apple SMCI? Coin,
SQ, DraftKings, our baby.
Our baby. Yeah, DraftKings. I'm holding in May right now because I want to try and get that premium.
We can try and
so that
pin it.
That speaks to Richard's question or Larry's question
about holding longer.
Holding longer because we know we're going to be in it for the whole year. So I'd rather be more aggressive. I can be more aggressive.
Yeah.
SMCI has $127 move projected for next week. $850 stock. That's 20%.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's an untradeable stock. It's a set it and forget it type thing.
Yeah.
You know, you do a 20, 10, 20, 30, whatever your risk is, point wide spread, and you just put it on and you have to hold it to expiration because these markets are just, they're tight right now. But into earnings, and while the stock's flapping around, it's going to be
flapping around, flapping in the wind.
Chips are going nuts today. NVIDIA's at 875. It's back.
Yeah.
We're back.
Classic.
That was quick.
Dave, yeah, if you're looking at short-term stuff, I don't mind the zero-day stuff. I like doing it in the morning, though. You get more premium. You can go wider because you get more time for that volatility. If you're trying to put up one on today, you could do the one you looked at, or you could do one for like Monday. If you're trying to play a non-event weekend scenario, you're going to be able to go wider for the weekend risk. And then if you get a non-movement, it should snap into potential profitability on Monday morning. Remember Tan could be a $50 scratch today. I do remember Tan.
Ooh.
I did not do anything here.
What do you still have? What do you have there?
I have a 45
May.
Yeah, 45 iron fly, 10 points wide. 10 points wide on the downside, 5 points wide on the upside. So I'm just going to hold this. Get another dollar move and we'll be in a green scratch.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we talked about going inverted there, which is possible because I collected $4 up front, but just decided to hold on. We'll see what happens there, but yeah. What do we think about on semiconductor?
It's a semi stock, so I'm shocked it's not at highs.
29th before the market, so that's what? Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Trying to sneak it in there. $5, $6 expected move for the week, $8 expected move for June. So there's a lot of weight on this earnings announcement, as you might imagine.
I'm getting long.
Whoa. First time trade in this bad boy?
Never get filled in this.
Cheapy,
70 strike in June with the 75 in the weekly for 377. There you go.
Real quick here, triple header. Manny, if you're at 70% profit on Iron Condor, we close it.
Mm-hmm.
Merrick, when you speak about delta neutral or moving delta, what does that mean exactly? It just means adjusting strikes to adjust delta. So if we have a strangle and the stock price moves to our call is going to gain short delta, our put's going to lose positive delta. So moving the put up closer to the call is going to increase the positive delta on the put, therefore neutralizing the delta or reducing the delta on the call side. So just moving strikes and making sure that they have some delta hedge to them. And when you roll an inverted strangle on or a straddle for a debit with 34 days to go, would you roll an inverted strangle or straddle for a debit? Or just wait for the underlying to come down? What other way can you adjust to bring down the delta if you can't roll? You have to roll to adjust
the delta. If you're rolling the same strikes, it's always a credit. So you must be moving the strikes.
Yeah.
And you're changing your delta via new strikes.
But yeah, even if you're taking the same strikes and you're rolling it out in time, it will soften the delta naturally because you're going into a new cycle that has a wider expected move versus like a 90 delta, 10 delta in an inversion. You'll move into like a 70 delta, 20 delta, something like that. So, we would do it. We like to not pay a big debit. We like to do it for like a scratch or a small credit, which may mean we're still leaning directional, maybe just a little bit less directional. That's it. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, you can always reach us on the Twitters. I'm at Trader Mikey B. Nick's a Trader Nikki Bat. Stay tuned, though. We got plenty more content coming your way on tastylive.com as well as the YouTube channel. Both of us will be out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But we've handpicked some segments for you for some epic review.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back Thursday for Tree Trade Ideas. And we'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everyone. And the great rest of your trading day. There's still 3 hours left.
Go Bears.
Go Bears. Peace. Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered